272 featuring a guy who made Lucas Oil explode. We're hoping for a few more of these moments on Saturday. Tavon Smith joins us from the 2015 team. He talks about senior leadership. He talks about that pass from CJ Beathard in the championship game and a whole lot more. We love sitting down with Tavon. We hope you do too. It's time to have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 272 of the podcast. And today with this introduction, I want to take everybody on a stroll down memory lane. I'd like you to close your eyes and just think about December 5th, 2015 at about 9:30 p.m. in Indianapolis, Indiana, Lucas Oil Stadium, when our current guest, friend of the podcast, longtime teammate, friend, made the most electric play that I have ever been a part of, and probably is the peak of many, many of his former teammates' lives. Tavon, we can't thank you enough for that play you made. We wish it would have ended in a Big Ten championship for us, but I think I speak for everybody in the whole Wash Up Walk-Ons community when we say that that was probably the coolest play in Iowa football history that we had been a part of. And welcome to the podcast, man. This is a family show, and we're gonna have a lot of fun here.
I appreciate that, fellas.
He said it's a family show. It ain't a fucking family show.
Oh no, family! Like we're all family.
Yeah,
like,
but
we're all part of the family.
I got you, Tavon. It's been too long, my man. It has been too long. 2015. What do you remember about that night?
Honestly, that whole night was a blur. Especially after that play, like I don't even remember how loud it was, but every time it comes up and I see people on Twitter, it's just like, man, that shit was so loud. It was this. I'm like, shit, I don't even remember how loud it was. Like, it was just a blur. Like, it was just, it was just so loud that I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah. It was that loud that your ears didn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
Bro.
But, and it was a great atmosphere. And you know, everybody had a great time there and shit. So did I. Fuck.
You break open on that play. It was basically backyard football. Tavon beat this guy. When did you know that you got the jump on him? And when you saw that ball in the air, what did you think?
I'd say at the top of my route, I kind of knew that I had a couple strides on him, a stride or two.
Because you can absolutely fly, dude. Like, let's just get that out there. You can fly.
Yeah, I was running pretty fast in that game. I mean, I don't even know if you guys probably didn't even know, but the week of that practice, I like tweaked my groin. I kind of tore my groin.
You're telling me you were hurt on that play?
Yeah, I was. There was a chance that I wasn't going to play, but then, wow. You know, with the great doctors and, you know, what they do with, you know.
Help you out a little bit.
Took a nice little pill. And I was good.
And they probably gave you a nice little wrap there that kind of took over for the muscle.
I was wrapped up a lot that game. But it's funny because when, you know, as I'm running stride for stride, I can feel like slight like tears like in my groin, just like as I'm running, trying to get the ball. And I'm like, well, shoot, it's got to be worth it once I catch it.
It's like, fuck it.
I was pretty sore. Like, thank God we had some time to kind of like, you know, right before the Rose Bowl, I had to kind of, you know, chill out a little bit because, yeah, my groin was messed up for a while.
Wow. That's breaking news to probably a lot of people because we're teammates and we did not know that.
Yeah, I kind of tweaked it in practice. I think it was like a Tuesday. It was like Tuesday practice. I believe. Yeah, so it was like just a couple of days. We had maybe had one or two more practices left and I was like, well, shit, we're just going to wrap this shit up and see what happens.
I have a feeling that even if that thing tore off the bone, you were getting to that ball.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. As soon as I saw that ball, I was just like, you know what? this better be worth it.
Yeah, and it was,
even
dude.
Even though we lost, I mean, it was still it was 100% worth it.
Well, I mean, that play won us the game until it didn't. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we didn't then go on to make more plays like that to break free. And then, you know, we got ran down at the end. But as far as you knew and everybody knew, when you made that play, that won us the Big Ten championship. Because that feeling, that electricity, that momentum, bro. Oh.
Yeah. I thought it was over too, man. I thought it was over.
For those listening, take you back even a little more in depth. That play happens on a two-play drive. We start after a touchback kickoff. Akram had a 2-yard rush to the 27 from the 25. We get a penalty. Austin Blythe with a 10-yard hold. Come on now.
God damn it, Blythe.
Pretty sure that was a bullshit holding call too, to be honest.
So we get backed up, and it is first and 20. And 20.
I didn't know that.
And CJ Beathard lets it fucking rip. And I was, so as the snapper, I'm sitting down like, all right, like we got a whole drive. You know, I'll get ready once we cross the 50, maybe once we get the 40. And I see you on the big screen because I'm short as hell. So I watch half the games on the screens. I'm looking up and I'm like, oh shit. Oh, Smitty's scoring. Okay. And I'm sprinting down the sideline, my dumbass, like Baker Mayfield arms, you know? And I'm sure you do too. I get goosebumps just thinking back to that game, man. It's a wild thing.
Is that the most fun game of your career?
Yeah. To this day, I mean, that's probably one of the biggest plays. I mean, I had a game winner maybe in 2019 while I was with my team here. But it wasn't as epic as that at all. Not even close. I mean, just the atmosphere, you know, that point of the game in the fourth quarter. I mean, it couldn't have been any more perfect than that, honestly.
And college football is different, man, because the way that Iowa fans are absolutely rabid about the Hawks, it makes it very professional-like.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think college football is still way more electric than the NFL or any other, you know? It's crazy, especially Iowa fans. I mean, got one of the best fans in the country, if not the best. So, I mean, it was definitely loud and electric in that. And it was obviously closed, so it was even louder.
Yeah. When did you realize what that fan base you just talked about? When did you realize what you really stepped into when you were a young 17, 18-year-old kid? How did you find your way to Iowa? And what moment in your career did you realize, oh shit, this Iowa City thing, this is kind of special?
Well, when I was getting recruited, I never got to go to a game. My visit was leading up to, I believe they were going to the Insight Bowl. So I didn't know what Iowa was, where Iowa was until I got there. So I guess my first taste of, you know, Iowa, some real Iowa football is probably like obviously freshman year, but you know, now we're playing big games. We're going to Nebraska. There's fans there. Iowa fans are traveling. We're playing in Kinnick Stadium, and it's, you know, we're playing against Wisconsin. You know, Penn State comes to Iowa City, huge. That's when I was a freshman. I was like, shit. All right, that's when it really hit me, for sure. One of those night games, I think you don't really realize where you're at until you go to an Iowa City night game.
They're different. They're different, bro.
Yeah. I mean, you know, special things happen on night games. So, you know.
It's like every time the lights go down in Kinnick, something crazy happens.
Something crazy happens. Blackout games, those are crazy.
What are your what are some other of your favorite memories from Kinnick?
I'd say another one was beating Michigan. I believe that was in 2013.
Yep.
And then I think Hitch catches.
And it was colder than any. Yeah. Oh man.
That goes down the record books for probably one of the coldest games in Iowa City.
I believe it was still, to this day.
Yeah. So shoot, that was definitely a highlight, and I had a nice little catch that their touchdown that game too. I don't know how I caught that ball, to be honest. It was cold as shit, and then I just ran up there and just caught it. I couldn't tell you, but yeah, no, I'd say that was definitely one of the bigger games that I've played in too.
Denard Robinson, right, was QB.
Yeah, Denard Robinson was either he was QB or they had a
Devin Gardner.
Gardner.
But they were both like in that offense, you know. Yeah. So
yeah, and they ran, man. Then they were just, oh shit, they were running like the Vince Young 2006 Texas offense. He was just pulling that thing.
It was the Pat White West Virginia offense with Rich Rod. Yep. It was the Rich Rod West Virginia special.
I remember Hitch causing that fumble late in the game too.
Yeah, it was crazy. That was a game to remember.
Unreal. You in 2015 were a part of a senior class that really found something.
I mean, the best team ever, Tamon. I hope you guys know that. Like, shout out to Pat Anger. It's cute that you guys think that you guys have the best Hawk team ever in 2009-2010. But you simply don't. You don't beat 12-0. Should have been 13-0. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. But yeah, congrats, Tamon, on being your senior class being the best in Iowa football history.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, like you said, I mean, those guys, they had a lot of guys on their teams too. But yeah, I would say arguably we are one of the best classes I was has had. So I mean, it means a lot for sure. Because there's you know all the great names that came out of Iowa football program as well. So yeah,
you, Blythe, Marshall Kane, Drew Ott, all those guys. In that off season, we had a really disappointing year in 2014.
Mm-hmm. We had two days. Remember that?
We talked
about it on this podcast quite often. We just referenced it about two podcasts ago.
What did you think about that bull prep two days in versus Tennessee?
I'm like, well, he must be getting ready for next year. who the hell goes to a bowl game and does two days, right?
Shit. They said, fuck it, man.
Yeah, so I was like, man, I guess they're saying fuck the seniors and we're just worried about next year.
That's what I'm saying, man.
It sucked, but that's the one thing that was going through my head. Like, well, next year, this is what we're doing.
Yup. Did you think at that point, like, oh, this offseason is about to hit a little different?
Yeah, I mean, just the way like we said, like just the way the bowl game bowl week went, we were just doing 2 days. It was like training camp. You know, KF took advantage of that time too.
And they put us out in the middle of nowhere and we practiced on the worst facilities you've ever seen for a, like, imagine your high school team and then back it down if your high school team was in the projects. And that is the type of, that was our field scenario in Jacksonville. It was insane.
Also, yeah.
Not the best.
Also, remember how far out of the city we stayed?
Yeah.
Like when those first 3 days when we got free time, it was like an hour drive to get to like a McDonald's. Like, what are we doing?
Crazy part about it is that I was in Jacksonville in 2018 for a little while. And, you know, driving to the facility, driving around, you know, Jacksonville. And I have yet to even know where that hotel was that when we stayed. I was like, where the hell did we stay? Because this is nowhere near like the city of Jacksonville. Like, you know what I mean? I've been out with guys, we're driving around, we're doing stuff. I'm at the beach and whatever. I remember we went to the beach and whatnot. But yeah, the whole time I was there, I was like, damn, it's been like 1 year and I still have no idea like where we were at.
Unreal. And when we started that 15 season, in January, do you remember anything specific about those guys and you in that senior class and sort of how you guys clamped down on the leadership? You know, the Hawkeye Championship was such a big thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it was sort of something that we rallied around. I remember, I'll never forget how in just absolutely militant Drew Ott was with his team about the Hawkeye Championship and making body weight and your grades and all everything that went into that point system, right? What was it about your senior class where you guys just changed?
I think it was just the simple fact that there was just so many of us, right? You know, a lot of senior classes, I mean, I feel like there's not that much, but we had
talk about the attrition all the time.
Yeah, we had a very big class of seniors. Mm-hmm. So I think that was probably like a big thing for us, as opposed to guys just listening to maybe three or four guys, you know, because in a sense, like there's only certain guys that would listen to Drew out. There was only certain guys that'll listen to, you know, myself or Lomax or any other seniors that we had, right? But we had so many that, you know, a little piece of us was on every part of that team, you know? So those little crowds or those little, you know, whether it was freshmen that were maybe, you know, need to pick their shit up, or it was some sophomores or juniors, we had the perfect guys to talk to every single, you know, player on that team, which I think that was a big thing for us.
That's a really good point that I had not thought about before.
Yeah.
Me either.
Because there's just so many guys, right? Like it's different if I'm gonna talk to Drake as opposed to somebody that you actually hang out with like all the time. Like,
yeah,
sure.
Exactly. So for him to talk to you is different than coming from me. And the guys that I
like Wiseman with, versus you, like Wiseman's in the room, like we spend every day together.
Exactly. So yeah. Now I'm able to talk to receivers. You're able to talk to your group, and Drew is able to talk to his guys. I think that was probably the biggest thing. And there was so many of us that we were able to kind of relate to every single player that was on our team.
They covered every room in the building,
yeah.
Man.
Even
to the specialist, because Marshall was a senior that year as well. Yep, so
exactly. Yeah,
that's good stuff. There was just something about that. It's hard to get so many guys in a senior class too, because there's there's only enough food on the plate for a few guys to eat, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think about the transfer portal? Because now that point is getting extra like shoved in your face. Like if you don't get to eat immediately, goodbye. Like I'll see you later.
I think it's good, but I also think it's bad because it kind of gives players, you know, it kind of spoiled in a sense. You can't really, you know, like just because 1 year doesn't work out, you know, it doesn't mean you can't stick it through and, you know, come out in the end and win, right? When it comes to like your personal goals. But in a sense, it's good for some guys because they just know they're not going to either play, or this offense or defense is not their type of, you know, style, and that's probably best for them to leave. So I think it just depends on the player. I think it's good that they have the option, but some people, I guess, kind of abuse that type of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it really
we just kind of talked about, we think that the grit level of football is going to decrease because one, they're trying to take it out with the rules, and two,
yeah,
the guys are just having easy outs and everything just gets easier and easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. You go to school, it doesn't work out maybe the first few weeks and you're just like, oh, I'm going to transfer. It's like, bro, the season didn't even like get, it's not even halfway through the season yet.
And it's happened too.
Yeah. So, and then you never know. And I always say grass isn't greener on the other side, man. You go to another school and if that word doesn't work out, now what? Fuck, I should have just stayed and stuck it out. And now the guy that you're behind gets hurt or he's gone too. And now you're like, well, shit, I could have just stayed. Right.
Right.
So, I mean, it's all about patience with anything, right? Anything in life, you got to be patient on and off the field. So shit.
I would say you're a pretty good example of that. You're still playing football, my guy, and carving out a path. Talk a little bit about your post Iowa career and where you bounced around to in the league, and now you're an Elk, right?
I am. They changed the name. It used to be the Eskimos. Now they're the Elks. But
how do you
yeah.
feel about that? I kind of like the Eskimos, man.
I like the Eskimos too. I don't know, but you know, the day and age that we live in now, people are offended by names and all this other stuff. So, I mean, it is what it is. Just embrace it. And
the Elks up there in Canada are going to get pissed and they're going to come trample your ass because now you're using their name.
Hey, it is what it is, man.
How beautiful is Canada, man? I've heard nothing but
great. It's nice. I've only been in the CFL, I've only been on one team so far in Edmonton, and they got mountains like, you know, maybe an hour or two away. And I don't know if you guys heard of Banff. It's a beautiful place. You guys should look it up.
I've heard of Banff. Yeah.
It's nice as hell. Oh my gosh. I never, outside of you know, Toronto, I mean, I've only been to the U.S. I've been a lot of places in the U.S., but I never traveled throughout Canada until I came to the CFL. So, I mean, yeah, I've never been to Vancouver before, which is a beautiful city as well. I've never been to Calgary. I've never been to even Montreal. I haven't really been to Montreal that much at all until I came to the CFL. So it's been a good experience so far, and I'm just enjoying it, man. I mean, I'm still playing, so it's always good to stay on the field and, you know, just be out there in the locker room.
How cool is it to be supporting yourself and your family while playing the game that you've loved since you were a kid?
I mean, I love it, man. I mean,
yeah. It can't get any better, right?
Yeah, because, like, now, I mean, for me now that I'm in Canada now, I have a lot of friends and family that get to actually watch me play. So I like that. I mean, that's definitely a blessing. You know, I mean, when I was at Iowa, my mom came to a few games because it was like a 15-hour drive. She couldn't do that all the time. She obviously had work and all that. So, I mean, for her to be able to watch on TV every week, you know, sometimes in Canada she doesn't get the Iowa games, and she has to get all these, you know, get the satellite, make sure we're at Big Ten Network, this network, that network. When it's just, you know, you're in the U.S., it's just on TV regardless, right? So for her to be able to watch every game, and my dad be able to watch every game, my whole family, and then whenever we're in Toronto, we play Toronto. I mean, shoot, it's always good to play at home. I know for you guys, like, and the guys from like that's in that area, and you guys have family coming to Iowa games all the time. Like, now I'm seeing, like, you know, what you guys were experiencing. So it's definitely good.
Yeah, that's awesome. You mentioned you were with the Jaguars for a little bit. You're with the Oakland Raiders for a little bit. You're with the Colts for a little bit. Actually, a little more than a little bit with the Colts. What did you learn through that process of bouncing around the NFL?
Just sticking the course, honestly. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have played, that I played with, and they're still with the Colts, or they're on another team, or, you know, just, or they're in the CFL playing with me. There's a guy he was actually my roommate in college, or not in college, my roommate my rookie year. He went to Purdue actually too, and he plays in the CFL as well. So there's a lot of guys that, you know, that just stick the course and continue to play. So I mean, like I said, I love it.
Indianapolis is home of the Big Ten championship.
Are you coming back? I was going to ask that question. You got to be coming back to Indy, right, for this game Saturday?
I don't know. I thought about it. It definitely crossed my mind.
I mean, you're the guy. Yeah, he should be the honorary freaking captain, man.
Dude, listen, our podcast will buy you a ticket if you need.
If they want to fly me out, if they want to, you know, if they want to have me do the coin toss, I'll be there.
Hey, Ben Hansen, where are you at? Come on now.
I mean, somebody listening to this podcast tomorrow, get this man a ticket.
It'll be dope. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind coming out there for the game, man. But especially going back to Lucas Oil. I mean, like you asked before about my experience with the Colts. I mean, I loved it there. It's a great experience. Every team I've been on was a great experience. But unfortunately, you know, injuries kind of, like, one thing led to another. So
what did you think when you saw – how closely have you followed the Hawks this year?
Not as much as I usually do, just because, like I said, it's hard to kind of watch the games out here. Right. But I watched a few. I made every time we actually get to watch, I make sure it's on in the locker room. But unfortunately, you know, the game that I had them watch wasn't too good. I think it was the Purdue game.
Oh, yikes, man.
Yeah. And every time now, like, what's going on with the Hawkeyes? I come in the locker room and all the trainers are just like, what's going on, my man? I don't even want to talk about it.
When you caught wind that this weekend ended up the way it did and they were going to be going.
Since you all haven't been following it super closely, do you realize how big of a backdoor it really was that we found ourselves in the Big Ten championship?
No. Why you say that?
Man, because when we lost to Wisconsin, we forfeited all right to the lead in the West. And Wisconsin's schedule coming up, they were very much expected to win out.
And they were playing fucking good.
Go ahead, Kluber.
They were playing good.
And then we were down 21-6 to Nebraska in the second half with like a 4.5% chance to win. That was our calculated win percentage, and we came back to win that. And then the following day, Minnesota pulled off a 9-point or 7-point upset to beat Wisconsin in their rivalry game to send us the Big Ten championship, dude. It was the backdoor of the century.
That's crazy.
And wow. We basically got there because of a blocked punt for a touchdown.
Right, right. That's wild.
Insane. When you think about their opportunity to go to the Big Ten championship, what comes to your mind when you think of what advice you would give the current guys if they were listening to this, having been there, having been on the field, a significant contributor, making a massive play? I think on the, let me just get this right real quick. You had 5 receptions for 110 yards in that Michigan State game. So, I mean, just as important as anybody. What would the advice be as far as just experiencing a Big Ten championship, which just does not come around very often, and then seizing that moment?
I would say just take advantage of every play and just stay the course. Because, I mean, like we talked about before, that play was in the fourth quarter. You know, you never know when it's going to be your time, right? You never know when it's going to be your play. You might not have a play the entire game, but your play might be the most important part of that game. So just stay focused one play at a time and ignore the noise. And that would be like, I say that every game to this day, just ignore the noise, ignore the self-doubt, and just have fun. But yeah.
Do you still think about that loss at all?
I wouldn't say. I think about it when it gets brought up. Sometimes I actually had a teammate on my team that he played on Michigan State. He was actually a corner. He was just starting corners as well. And every time he wears like Michigan State stuff, or when he was here, he wear Michigan State stuff. And that's when I would always think about it, and I'll just talk shit to him, or he'll talk shit to me. But other than that, man, like.
It's because he's still making a living playing the game, Kluwer. He's got the next game. There's always the next game for Devon. Like he gets to run it back and get wins under his belt, dude. Like,
yeah, it's too bad he lost a shit ton of games this year. So I've had a lot of losses to think about this year.
It's a good point, Drake. Like, because it hurt, but then obviously, like, we flipped the script and went right on to Stanford, and then, you know, but then now that we are washed up. That's all we have to think about, right? Like, we just think about what could have been.
Yeah, it's like a bad taste in your mouth, man. It's just like, damn.
Just doesn't go away.
Not at all. Every time I see it, though, every time I see the image or the picture, you know, somebody tweets it, I just think about, what if we just won that game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
When we lost that game and then we got the Rose Bowl bid, Any memories from the California trip we took or the Rose Bowl game, or just us getting our ass whomped there too?
The one thing that will always stick in my head is just Christian McCaffrey.
Oh,
like on
how
all
good days, how good is he, bro?
He's legit. Like, that's one. Yeah, every time I think about the Rose Bowl, I'm just like, man, this motherfucker Christian.
what went wrong offensively in that game?
I don't even know.
They were good, man. Their front seven was really good. They had many NFL players that were just wrecking us.
Yeah. They had a good group of guys for sure. They probably had a great group of seniors too.
Yeah. True.
No?
You mentioned, or Drake mentioned, when we were talking about older guys earlier, senior guys, Wiseman, guys like that. When you think back to your time at Iowa, who are guys that pop out in your head? Maybe when you were a young guy, who were like, damn, like, I respect that dude. He's got his shit together. He's a guy that I would follow into war.
I'd say one person that stands out is Brandon Scherff, on all phases. Like, on and off the field, but the weight room, everything. Like, he is, you know, Iowa football in my eyes. Like, a guy like that, definitely. And then obviously having like good coaches on your side too. But just watching him work, and seeing, you know, what he's even doing now, you know, having a great career. And then, you know, even though, you know, guys like, you know, that not even older when I first got there, even your Mark Wisemans or whatnot, but, you know, even guys that I was actually playing with, you know, like, sure. like Kittle, you know, even there's a lot of guys, man, a lot of friends that I definitely looked up to as well. But when I first got there, I was definitely, you know, it was like Brandon Scherff, Mark Wisemans. Those are the guys, Christian Kirksey, Anthony Hitchens, James Morris.
Like, we were so spoiled that year. There were so many amazing older guys. Yeah. Like, Scherff wasn't even a senior that year.
Exactly. But those are the guys, like, right there that, you know, that you look at, especially on the defensive side of the ball, too, like Hitch and Kirksey. So,
and that 2013 team was tough, dude. Like, yeah. we won games in a gritty manner. We barely lost a few games, and we played LSU tough as hell in the Outback Bowl.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the most uber talented LSU teams. Their running back and two of their wide receivers were like top two round draft picks.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. I think, that year they had
Jarvis OBJ and that big ass running back who just dominated for a while.
Yeah.
Couple right. D linemen as well.
Yeah, D linemen. I think Jamal Adams there? I believe he was there too.
I'm sure he was there. Yeah.
Jalen Mills as well, I think.
They were loaded, dude. They were loaded.
But yeah, we had great leaders on our team. Jordan Lomax, those like a lot of guys, man. That I definitely looked up to coming in there. And just trying to follow their lead and just, you know, keep my mouth shut and just working, you know, just
absolutely.
Lomax will forever go down as one of my favorite teammates. Like, there was something special about Lomax. There still is. That's why he's still working with the university, and he's going to be ridiculously successful later in life as he moves up the ladder, because it's just inevitable. Like, Lomax is just – there's a gravitational force to Lomax that can't really be explained. Like, that guy is just a purebred leader.
Right, yeah, for sure, man. He's great player, great friend, teammate, you know, all the above, right? So.
And a clown, too. He clowned around a little bit.
Funny. He's a great dude.
He was one of those guys. Tavon, we'll let you go, but thank you so much for joining us and reliving some of these memories.
Let's get a prediction for the game, bro. What do you think is gonna happen?
It's gonna come down to the fourth quarter. We're gonna be down probably about a touchdown, maybe 3 points, come back, kick a field goal in the end, hopefully tie it or to win it, depending on where we're at.
Ooh, I like that. I like the field goal.
It's a 60-minute ball game is what you're saying, and that's the only thing I want to see.
I want to see us come out of the hole and just win the game with just maybe a few seconds on the clock, kick a field goal to win it.
God damn. It would be redemption.
We get them in 2016.
It would be redemption for our 15 team if they could go and get this Big Ten championship. I know that.
I would love for them to win that game. I wish they were playing Michigan State, to be honest.
I do too.
I think it's close. They're just up the street, but.
Yeah. You know? Man, thanks so much for joining us, man. Tavon Smith, Hawkeye legend, at least in my eyes.
Appreciate that.
Thank you so much for joining the podcast. This was episode 272. Reliving a little bit of 2015 memories, memory lane, Indianapolis. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Until then, peace.